Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson. This is Kent Steinbeck, and we're coming to you from Herb's house, which is actually not a house that Herb lives in. It's actually a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas, and you need to come. We're in Galatians 5 and verse 22, and we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, which is what the Holy Spirit produces in the life of a believer as our life is yielded to Him. And we've come to the third aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, and we're calling this unassailable peace, unassailable peace. The Bible says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's our focus for this study, peace. So what is peace, Kent? Well, I want to start with, again, what it's not, and then we're going to talk about what it is. Peace is not having peaceful circumstances around us. Peace is not the absence of turmoil and the absence of trouble in my life. What peace is actually in the midst of difficulty and in the midst of the storms of life, there is a stillness and a calmness of heart on the inside as the storms of life are raging all around me, and the wind is blowing against me, and the waves are crashing against my frail little life. Down deep on the inside, there's no panic button being pushed. There is a supernatural, God-given peace that He is in control, that He is causing all things to work together for my good. I will be concerned. I will feel really the weight of what's going on around me. But down deep in my heart, it's like the hymn says, it is well with my soul. That's what peace is. It's really a supernatural tranquility and stillness of heart on the inside of me when everything around me would indicate otherwise. And this can only come from the Lord. I can't crank this up. I can't psych myself up. Again, I just have to be living a life that is in the closest fellowship with the Lord and walking humbly with Him, being in His Word, and the Holy Spirit just mediates this kind of peace into my heart. And I think of John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. Peace not as the world gives do I give unto you." I mean, Kent, that's what we need. The very peace that was in the heart of Jesus Christ the night before He was crucified. Think about it. He's not frantic. He is not in turmoil. There is peace in His heart, and He says to His disciples, really, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. And it's when we put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that our heart just calms down. I think of what Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, as he's talking about prayer and committing things to the Lord in prayer. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." The idea there is He would build a fortress around our heart, really like a firewall around our heart, and such that the troubles of life cannot follow us into our heart. It has to stay somewhat at a distance, because down in my soul, there is supernatural peace that is reigning. So, isn't it a great thing to be a Christian? Yeah. I mean, to have this, I mean, we live in a stressed out world. of people who cannot handle life, they're taking their life.
Yeah.
They're in escapism. They're depressed. They're turning to drugs and to everything else to try to find what only the Lord can give to them. Mm-hmm. And it's offered freely to us because of being in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So, Kent, you know, the old saying, if I had 10,000 lives, yeah, I'd give every one of them to the Lord.
Sure.
Because it's the greatest life that anyone could ever live. Mm-hmm. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, but Jesus says he's meek and lowly of heart, mm-hmm, and you'll find rest for your souls. So, Kent, let's talk about this.
Well, what a great blessing to have this. I'm again thinking of our audience and wondering, could you explain briefly the difference of peace with God,
yeah,
and the peace of God?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great question, Kent, that you've asked. We divide it out this way. There's objective peace, and then there's subjective peace. Objective peace is really a status or a condition that we enter into with God when we are justified by faith. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're no longer at war with God, and he's no longer at war with us. We're no longer alienated from God, and we're no longer enemies of God. We're now friends of God. We now become children of God. The warfare's over. I'm at peace with God. So that's objective peace. The result of that is what we call subjective peace, which is the peace that God puts within our heart and within our soul. And we can say it's subjective because it's experiential,
mm-hmm,
that we experience this peace, and it can fluctuate. There are times that we have more peace of God and other times less peace of God, where with objective peace, it never fluctuates. I cannot be more justified before God. I can never be less justified before God.
That's good.
But with subjective peace, there is an up and down, which is why we have to daily be in the Word and daily be in prayer,
yeah,
and regularly, weekly be in church. And continually serving the Lord. So, Kent, you've really asked a phenomenal question that has allowed us to really talk about, mm-hmm, some of the differentiation there.
Another question.
Yeah.
This is one that has really always astounded me to think of in Acts 16, Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
How? And could you speak to that just for a minute? Because I read that and I go, how in the world can you be...
Yeah, they're singing hymns at midnight.
Yeah, if you might mention that to our audience, kind of what happened just over a couple of seconds.
Well, in Acts 16, Paul's on a second missionary journey. He comes to the city of Philippi. He preaches the gospel to some women. They're saved. Next thing you know, it creates a riot in the city of Philippi, and they drag Paul, literally drag Paul, with... Silas through the streets of Philippi. They throw him into a dungeon. They're in solitary confinement. And so what's going on inside that jail cell? They're singing hymns.
I just can't.
They're literally in chains, and they're singing hymns. They're probably singing Every Day with Jesus is Sweeter Than the Day Before.
That's crazy.
And, you know, I'd be like singing something else,
yeah,
you know. And God sends the earthquake and throws the doors open. And the Philippian jailer has been listening to all this and just says, what must I do to be saved? I want what you have. And so that is a peace that surpasses all comprehension. There is no explanation for this.
And that's possible for us to have.
It is very possible for us to have. And I want to say God desires for us to have it. It's not like God is withholding, mm-hmm, this. No, God is generous and merciful and is desiring to flood our soul with this, pour this out into us, We just need to be like Paul and Silas and be singing praises to the Lord in the most difficult hours of our life. And I think we would find that God would open the floodgates of peace, and it would just come cascading down from the throne of grace into our heart and soul. Well, Kent, I want to live like this.
Me too.
And there's much room for growth in my spiritual life for this. And I want this for you. And so thank you for joining us here at Steadfast Hope. And it's really our sincere desire that God would be at work in your life and that this could just be some measure of encouragement to you to walk with the Lord today. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today on Steadfast Hope.